The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing this morning, a new survey by the Irish National Teachers Organisation has found that 58% of teachers have experienced physical aggression in schools. Joining me now to talk about this is Simon Lewis, school principal and host of the If I Were the Minister for Education podcast. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to talk to you again.
We're looking at almost two-thirds of teachers experiencing some sort of physical aggression in schools. Does that sound credible?
It does, unfortunately, Pat, and not surprising at all. I was involved in another survey 5 years ago in 2019 with another teacher group, and exactly the same results. And I'm afraid nothing seems to have changed.
Some of the aggression is obviously so severe as to merit medical attention. Looking at the survey, it would suggest one in five of those who experience the aggression actually have to go to a doctor.
That's correct. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. I think when a child can become so distressed that they feel they've no other option but to act out physically, and not through probably no fault of their own at all, someone can get injured so badly that they have to seek medical attention and often may have to take assault leave.
Now, the question of why this is happening, there is a suggestion by John Boyle of the INTO that this may be to do with the lack of appropriate services for the pupils rather than, you know, a specific lack of discipline or training for teachers.
Yeah, I think he's right in this case. I'm sure we've talked on this show many, many times around the waiting lists for children for occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, any forms of therapy, and mental health services for children who are very distressed. And I think he's absolutely right. We don't have the wraparound services that are needed for children with needs. When a child finishes preschool, they may have one-to-one support in their preschool. They're dumped into a classroom with 30 children with no support. And, you know, the poor child is left, you know, in a state where they may not be able to do anything. They get so frustrated that often the only thing to do is lash out. And it isn't the child's fault. And I think it's very important to say that there's no child that I know or that I've experienced who's ever lashed out, who's wanted to do that. Nobody wants to do that.
Mm. Now, the statistics seem to back up what you suggest, is that the child is having difficulties. For example, although I said about two-thirds of teachers overall will have experienced some physical aggression, when you look at special schools, the survey reveals that almost 100%, 96% of teachers working in special schools have experienced that kind of aggression. Whereas in mainstream classrooms, in ordinary classrooms without any special students within, it's 42%. So it's less than half the aggression that is experienced in special schools. What do we learn from that?
I suppose we learn that when a child has additional needs, they are more likely to not have the communication skills maybe that a child in a mainstream setting might have to communicate why they're feeling angry, why they're feeling that they have a need that isn't being met. And I guess it's maybe the only way they feel they can maybe express that is physically. I think, you know, my wife was a principal of a special school for some time, and you know, sure enough, the stats would bear out there. But in mainstream schools, of course, you've got children in classes with additional needs, but you also have children without additional needs, I guess, who can get physical as well. Though, as you say, it's less likely. And essentially what's lacking, really, as you mentioned, there are these wraparound supports, the preventative measures. If you're a child who has speech and language issues and, you know, you're trying to express yourself and no one can understand you, and this frustration can build and build and build, and eventually you might just go, do you know what? And then throw a chair across the room. Do you know, it's really, and it's so frustrating because we've known this for years and years, and we still have children waiting years on waiting lists. And I suppose on the other side of this, most teachers aren't trained in how to,
It's not part of teacher training regimes, I think, that they would learn how to manage aggression and how to support kids with particular needs, because in their teaching practice and so on, they may not come across these kinds of situations. So they might have a little bit of book learning on the topic, but no real experience.
No, and it's a very intense situation when you're in the midst of it. And, you know, it's fight or flight can kick in sometimes. But, and I mean, there are good training courses available. In my school, we spend over 3,000 euro every couple of years on a training for nonviolent communication, which, again, is a system which I suppose tries to de-escalate situations before they reach, you know, violence, I suppose. And there's a couple of those options available, but none of those are funded by the state. We have to essentially get that from the bottomless pit of the funding that we're supposed to be getting. It works to a point and it can minimize things slightly, but it's kind of both sides.
It seems incredible, Simon, I have to say, that you are dipping into the funds that you have, which are limited, as you point out, to get this training for your teachers, which training, it seems blindingly obvious, should be provided by the Department of Education.
I think it should. I mean, it would be great if they put in the wraparound supports, because that would minimise the behaviours in the first place. Given that that there are children now exhibiting these kind of behaviours, teachers do need to be trained in how to actually minimise the damage that can be caused. Once that's in place, you know, it'll help. But I think the priority really should be getting these wraparound supports for children. I mean, most other countries now have them in place. It seems mad that we don't have, you know, if a child needs a therapy, that they have to wait for years to get it. The inevitability is something's going to happen.
Now, Simon, finally, I should ask you, how much has changed? Because the idea of a child, attacking a teacher in my day, which is a long time ago since I was in primary school, the idea of that happening, it would not be contemplated, it would not be tolerated, because there was a regime of corporal punishment and, I suppose, a mild reign of terror in the classroom. That day is gone, but have we lost something as well in terms of what children are, how they're expected to behave in the classroom?
I'm not so sure. I mean, I've been teaching over 20 years, and I definitely this sort of behavior has increased. But to link it back to, you know, a lack of culture of fear, I don't think is probably true. I mean, we definitely have an increase of children with additional needs in our mainstream schools, and children who may come from families where expected behaviors maybe slightly different to maybe when we were growing up.
So are you saying that in those days, what happened to those difficult children who had behavioural issues and maybe mental health issues, they ended up in industrial schools like Artane, and they didn't make it into mainstream schools?
Yeah, I think children were kept away from school. They might have been put into homes or put into industrial schools, all that kind of stuff. So I don't think too much has changed in terms of how children are. I mean, children are learning all the time, and they express themselves in many ways. I mean, you know, any parent who has children at home, that if they haven't had a child who's lashed out at their own parents, you know, no matter what home they're in, it would be a very strange home, because children are learning how to behave and interact with each other, and, you know, hitting and spitting and all those sort of behaviours that you try and teach your child not to do when they're toddlers. And as they grow up in the world, you know, that happens in homes. I suppose that layer of it crossing over to school wasn't as common. I don't know what the reasons are, but I think they're a little bit, they're fairly complicated.
School principal and host of If I Were the Minister for Education podcast, Simon Lewis. Simon, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.